Who said that? Who said that? And all month long, we're looking at how God speaks to us. One of the most important skills that I believe a believer can develop over the course of their spiritual journey is an ability to clearly hear from God, because Jesus said that those who come to him, hears what he says and does what he says. He says it's like a man who built his house upon a rock, that when the storms of life came and it beat upon that house, it beat upon the life, it beat upon that faith, that person's faith journey, the storm was not able to shake it because it was founded on a rock. And so it's incredibly important that not only we come to God, but that we develop an ability to hear from him. So in week one, we established the fact that God wants to speak to us. It's his desire. We're not trying to pull on him and force him. He wants to be in relationship with us. He is a good father. He wants to speak to us. Secondly, we said that as his children, we received at the new birth an ability to hear from him. It's not something that we have to strive to do. He said that my sheep hear my voice. And as a believer, you are a sheep. So a function of you hearing from God is not so much a function of what you do, it's a foundation or a function of who you are. If you are sheep, you received an ability to hear from God. And then last week, we began to look at ways that we can begin to recognize God's voice. God has a voice. Our human spirit, as we'll talk about today, has a voice. Satan has a voice. How do I begin to recognize God's voice versus the other competing voices? We talked about that God's voice will always be relevant. It'll be relevant as it relates to time, relevant as it relates to our level of understanding. We said that we can recognize God's voice through his approach. He's never gonna force his way into our lives. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and we have to choose as an act of our will to let him in. We can also recognize God's voice by the content. Is the content in line with scripture? Is it in line with what he's already said? And we can lastly recognize his voice by the results. God will always speak to you in a way that builds you up. He said that we should not let corrupt communication come out of our mouths, but only communication that edifies, only communication that builds up. He would not tell us to communicate with one another in ways that build each other up if he was gonna sit in heaven and try to tear us down through his communication. And so he will always speak to us in a way that builds us up. And it will always, he will always speak words that promote peace. If we have a lot of strife, if we have a lot of jealousy and envy, it's a good chance that there's an environment full of people who aren't following the leading and the prompting of God. So we want to close out this series by looking at this message title, How Does God Speak? We've established the fact that he wants to speak to us. We've also talked through how we can begin to recognize his approach, but just exactly how does he do it? There are a lot of different ways that God can speak to us, but let's start off by establishing a scriptural foundation. If you have 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 23, and we're going to look at it in the NIV translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It reads, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole what? May your whole spirit. And then what's next? Your soul. And your what's next? Your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul here is writing to the church at Thessalonians, and he says that his prayer is that their whole spirit, their soul, and their body would be preserved blameless. The reason that I wanted to take you there was I wanted to establish the fact before we talk about how God speaks, that as human beings, mankind, we're made up of three parts. All of us, men, women, black and white, if we're living here on the earth, all of us are made up of three parts. We are spirit, and we see that part of us in the text. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a physical body. You are not a body, you live in one. You're not a soul, but you do have one. So you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a physical body. Now, some people, most people don't debate that we have bodies, we can see those. Where there is some confusion is there a difference between our spirits and our souls? That is less obvious because I'm looking at you. If I were to look at you, Facebook, I could see your body, but I couldn't see your spirit, I couldn't see your soul. So because they're hidden, oftentimes there's some confusion about whether those two things are the same thing. They're not. We won't turn to it, but a proof text for that is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. In Hebrews, the scripture says that God's word is powerful enough to divide our spirit and our soul. If it was powerful enough to divide our spirit and our soul, but they were the same thing, it would have just said that God's word is powerful enough to divide our spirit, or God's word is powerful enough to divide our soul. It said that it's powerful enough to separate both our spirit and our soul. Now, some believers try to know God. They try to hear God through their physical senses, through their bodies. So they want God to speak to them in ways that they can see. They want God to speak to them in ways that they can feel. They want God to speak to them in ways that they can hear with their physical ears. But nowhere in Scripture did God promise us to guide us through our senses. Nowhere in Scripture did He promise that He would guide us through our physical bodies. Other believers who don't try to know God through their senses or their body, they try to know God through their intellect. They try to know God through their mind. If they can't rationalize it out, if they can't reason it out with their intellect, then they don't believe. But again, in Scripture, nowhere in Scripture does God promise to guide us through our intellect. God is a spirit, and the primary way that He's going to speak to you is through your spirit. God is a spirit, and the primary way that He's going to speak to you is going to be through your spirit. What are some proof texts for that? Again, we won't turn to these, but in John chapter 4, verse 24, John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus was speaking here, and He said that God is a spirit. God is not a body. He's not a soul. He's a spirit. And Jesus said that God's worshipers, those who worship Him, must worship Him in the spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit, and He in the spirit world is going to contact you or speak to you primarily through your spirit. Another proof text for this, that God primarily will speak to you through your spirit, is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of a man, your spirit, is the candle of the Lord. So what does that mean? We don't really use candles a whole lot. I'm going to rephrase the text a little bit. I could say it like this. The spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. Most of us are familiar with light bulbs. The spirit of man is the light bulb of the Lord. Well, what was Solomon telling us? He was telling us that the primary way that God is going to give you light, the primary way that God is going to give you enlightenment, if you're facing decisions, facing situations in life, and you're not clear, it looks dark. How do I move forward? How do I progress? God is going to give you that light through your spirit because He is a spirit. So if God is going to primarily speak to us through our spirit, just what are some of the ways that God can speak to us? There are a lot of different ways in Scripture that we see God speaking to people. We won't touch on all of these ways. There are just a few that I want to look at. These are some ways that God in Scripture led people, and some ways that God can still lead people today. One way that God leads people and led them in Scripture was through an audible voice. God did lead people and speak to people in Scripture through an audible voice. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I needed direction. I had to make decisions. I really wanted to hear from God, and I didn't want to miss it. So I really wanted clarity on, hey, God, I need to hit it when it comes to hearing from You. And I would always want Him to speak to me in an audible voice. But primarily, Most people who consistently hear God today don't hear him consistently through an audible voice. God can speak to you in an audible voice. You may know of people who God has spoken to in an audible voice. He may have spoken to some of you in an audible voice, but all throughout scripture, he spoke a lot in an audible voice, but not so much today. Well, why is that? Well, I believe that a part of why he had to speak to the Old Testament characters, the Old Testament prophets, in an audible voice back in the Old Testament was because Jesus had not come. He had not died on the cross. And so all of the people that we read about in the Old Testament were spiritually dead. As a believer, when you gave your life to Christ, you were made alive on the inside. Your spirit man came alive through the new birth. So God can speak to you in your spirit because your spirit is alive. Moses was spiritually dead on the inside. And if you were to go to a funeral and go up to the body and try to speak to it, 9.999 times that body should not speak to you if you speak to it. And the reason that that body won't speak to you is because it's dead. And so God could not speak to them directly because they were spiritually dead. He had to speak to them in an audible voice. But you're not spiritually dead. Another way that God spoke and does speak still today is through dreams and visions. You may have heard Pastor mention that God speaks to him often in night visions. Pastor will go to sleep. He will see a vision. He'll see a dream. God will wake him up and then he'll write down in his journal what it was. Throughout scriptures, God did speak to people in visions and dreams. Another way that God speaks is through individuals. So God can speak to you, will speak to you through other believers. God can speak to you and will speak to you through men and women of God who share the word, fivefold ministry gifts, gifts of the Spirit. God can use individuals to speak to you that way. Prophets, God can speak to you through individuals. Another way that God can speak to you is through the word itself. God can speak to you through his word itself. Some of you may have heard someone give an account that said, hey, I was reading my Bible and it seemed in just my quiet time of reading the Bible that a scripture just seemed to lift off the page. Or sometimes Christians may say it jumped off at the page. What they were practically saying is as they were reading the general word of God, that the Holy Spirit quickened the scripture or he made a specific scripture come alive that really spoke to their unique specific situation. That is a way that God can speak to you. He's spoken a lot to me, especially early on as I was beginning to learn how to hear his voice. He spoke a lot to me through quickened scriptures. A few examples of that. I was a senior in college and I wanted to be on the homecoming court. We had a homecoming procession. I wanted to be on the homecoming court. Not only did I want to be on the homecoming court, I wanted to be homecoming king. Like, I just didn't want to be on there. I wanted to be homecoming king. But at the school that I went to, very few African-American people had, one, made the court, let alone win. I think only one other person, one other gentleman, had ever won homecoming king. Well, I wanted to be that. The first year, got accepted onto the court, but didn't win. The very next year, got accepted to the court, and I was happy the first year for the guy who won, but that was a little embarrassing to be up there, and we kind of fake clapping as if we were happy for him, and all of us wanted to win. And so I just released my faith. I truly believe that God cares not just about the big decisions in your life, not just the big moments in life. He cares about small details. He's really, as a father, concerned about intimate details in your life. So I just released my faith for it, told God that it was a desire of my heart that I wanted. And in my quiet time in college, I was reading in the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs, as I was reading, Proverbs 14:28 just seemed to jump off the page. Proverbs 14:28, and the A part of that verse said, in a multitude of people is a king's honor. Well, I was reading it, it just kind of jumped off, wasn't really looking for it, but I did write it down in my journal. About a week later, they lined all of us up. I felt that that was God telling me that I would win. There were two people on the court named Michael, me and another gentleman. And the lady, when she read the name, she said, and the homecoming king is Michael. And there was this long pause, kind of in suspense. And then she finally said more. And so that was a moment where God kind of showed me things to come. That was a quicken scripture. A few years later, I moved off to Charlotte. Was working a good job, was enjoying it, but midway through, really felt like this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not what I'm called to, but I didn't know what I was called to. Mm-hmm. Parents worked in full-time ministry, didn't know that I was supposed to, and it was in my quiet time in my apartment in Charlotte that I was reading Ezekiel, and in Ezekiel 2, the scriptures just lifted off. It was as if I was reading, and they kind of jumped off at the page. I knew in reading that text that God was calling me into ministry, called my dad, mentioned to him, hey, believe God has called me into ministry. Ezekiel kind of jumped off the page at me. And I didn't know this until that time, but he mentioned that most of us know that when he went off to law school, he went on a lunch break and he was reading through the Bible and got called into ministry. I had heard that story, but I never heard where he was reading. And God called him into ministry in the book of Ezekiel as well. And so that was a confirmation as well. And then I mentioned this testimony in the Q&A in our discussion last week. I wasn't sure whether or not I was supposed to stay here at Faith Chapel or whether or not I was supposed to spin off. And God quickened Isaiah 45 verse 13. And that ended up being one of the founding verses that Pastor used to start this church. And so it was God letting me know that I was called to stay here at Faith Chapel. And so there will be times when we're reading God's word and we're just looking at it for general application. We're looking at the scriptures, we're looking at the Bible stories, and there will be some general truths that we can pull out and apply to everyday life. But God can speak to you through a quickened scripture. In his word, he'll make it come alive. I wanna look at a few primary ways that God speaks, talk through those. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm actually going to look at this verse in a different translation. We'll look at it in the New King James Version. The fifth way that I want to talk about that God will speak to us is God will speak to us through what's called the inward witness. God will speak to you through what's called the inward witness, and that inward witness is a primary way that he speaks to believers today. So what is that inward witness? Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 14 and then we'll skip to verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So as a son of God, as a daughter of God, you have an ability once you entered into the new earth to be led by the Spirit, to be led by God's guidance. But verse 16 is going to be the key verse. It says the Spirit or the Holy Spirit himself bears witness. Say bears witness. Bears witness. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit or with your spirit that you are the children of God. So here it's saying, Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit, or the Holy Spirit will testify to something in your spirit. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Some believers refer to this inward witness as just an inner prompting. Other believers may refer to it as an internal intuition. All of us have heard of women's intuition. You know, women can kind of pick up on some things, women intuition. This is an internal intuition. Other believers, you may have heard it referred to as this. Other believers will refer to this inward witness as an inner peace. I had peace about something, or I had a lack of peace about something. When they say that, they're referring to this inward witness, or you probably have heard other believers refer to it as a check. Anybody ever heard someone say, I just had a check down on the inside? If you've heard a believer say that, what they were referring to was the inward witness. The Holy Spirit was giving them a check, or he was giving them an unction, you may hear it called that, or a prompting to do something, or to not do something. So what does that practically look like? There will be times when you in life have to make a decision or you're considering something, and just down on the inside, there will be a peace. Down on the inside, you will sense a sense of peace. There's a green light down on the inside. I feel like I'm supposed to move forward. There's a green light. The Holy Spirit will confirm some things as it relates to decision making. But then there'll also be times when you're considering something or you're considering moving forward and making a decision, and there's just an uneasiness. You may not be able to really explain it in your head. You may not be able to really know why there's an uneasiness, but you may sense a lack of peace. It's just something about this that just doesn't, I don't sense that it's right. Don't push past that. God will give a witness to some things or give you a lack of peace, because this is one of the ways that he speaks to us. But generally, this inward witness, it doesn't really involve words. It's just an inner peace or a lack of peace. Or an inward conviction. It's not going to be a whole lot of words, but it'll be a check or a prompting. There are ways, if God is speaking to your spirit or testifying to your spirit in this way, there are ways that you can actually become more sensitive to those promptings so that you don't blow past them. I want to quickly give you a few ways that you can actually become more sensitive to that. Meditating on God's word is a way that you can help to make your spirit sensitive to those inner promptings. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And meditating on God's word can help you to get familiar with God's voice, get familiar with his word, and it can help to make you more sensitive to those promptings or to that lack of peace. Another key to making your spirit more sensitive to these promptings is to look at your love walk. To walk in love. If you are out of love with your spouse, walking in unforgiveness with coworkers, family, and friends, if you're violating that law of love, it can make you desensitized to those promptings. You say, well, where are you getting that from? In 1 John chapter 4, it tells us that God is love. God is love. And so if I'm pushing away from love in my marital relationship, 1 John tells me that I'm not just pushing away from my spouse, Michelle. If God is love and I'm pushing away, I'm stepping back from walking in love with her, I'm actually stepping away from God, because he is love. He doesn't just love, he is love. So the closer that I get to love, the more that I develop my love walk, the more sensitive I will be to hear him, because he is love. And then there's another way that you can make your spirit sensitive to hear these promptings, and that's praying in tongues. Praying in the spirit can actually help you to become more sensitive. It may start off with you just praying in tongues, just kind of as a, hey, this is what I do. You know, this is what I was told the church that we're supposed to do. But the more that you do it, the more sensitive you will become. Scripture says that when we pray in tongues, we're actually building up our inner man. And so that's another way that you can become more sensitive to those promptings. Let's look at another way. There's two more ways that I want to look at. Let's look at a sixth way. This is also a primary way that God will speak to you. And that is the still, small voice. Can you say that with me? The still, small voice. Where is this in scripture? In 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elijah. He has just defeated the prophets of Jezebel, just had a great victory. Jezebel puts a hit out on his life. He takes off running. He's afraid for his life. He begins to have this pity party with God. I'm the only one serving you, and I'm out here trying to live right, and there's no other people that's living right for you. And so God meets him in a cave. God shows up, and God tells Elijah, hey, I want you to go onto a mountain, and I'm going to meet you at that mountain. I'm going to manifest my presence to you at that mountain. And 1 Kings chapter 19 tells us that as Elijah got onto the mountain, a strong wind broke out on the mountain, began to break up the rocks. A strong wind passed by, but it says that God was not in the strong wind. Then an earthquake began to break out, but it says that God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire broke out. The scripture says that God also was not in the fire, but it said that after the fire, there was a still, small voice. Not a demonstrative voice, not a loud voice. It was a still, small voice. And so that still, small voice is another way that God will speak to you as a believer. Oftentimes, you may hear that still, small voice referred to as many different things. You may hear it referred to as the voice of your human spirit. So God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is a spirit. But I said that you are spirit down on the inside, and your spirit man has a voice. That voice, when your spirit speaks to you, that is the voice of your human spirit. That's the still, small voice. You will also hear it referred to as your conscience. If people say, well, my conscience told me to do that, that was the voice of their human spirit telling them to do this. But the point that I want to make about this is it's a still, small voice, so it can be easily missed. It's a still, small voice, so it's not going to be demonstrative like an earthquake. It's not going to be, you know, the skies parted and thunder began to rain down in my apartment. No, it's gonna be a whisper. I'll try to give you an example of that. It's been raining a lot lately, and sometimes if you're leaving the house, you may, as you're heading out the door, you may have a fleeting thought. Grab an umbrella. Grab an umbrella, it's gonna rain. Now that fleeting thought, it's not very demonstrative. It's just kind of a flashing thought. Again, some people will call it a whisper. It can be very easy for us to blow past that, and a lot of times that we do. Those fleeting thoughts are actually the voice of your human spirit. I know there have been times where I've had those fleeting thoughts and I obeyed it, got into the situation, and was perfectly positioned for what I needed. And then there were other times where I have those thoughts just, hey, it's gonna rain, roll up your windows. And I'll blow past it. God cares about small details, like again, you getting wet when it's gonna rain, and he will actually speak to you about even details as small as that, but it's not gonna be something that's very demonstrative. It's not gonna be something that is very loud. It can be very easy to brush off. And so because it's a small voice, we again have to be sensitive. Another example of this more recently was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, Pastor approached me and gave me an opportunity to share the Easter sermon. And I accepted it, thanked him for the opportunity. In churches, as you know, Easter is a big deal. And so the team that was working on Easter communicated to me that the theme that they wanted to use for our Easter services was feast or famine. They kind of explained it to me. I tried to understand it, but didn't fully follow it. And so because I wasn't really following it, I asked to change it. Hey, I know y'all put some time and planning into it, but I want a part of that. Can I change it? And told me that you have so many days to give us something new. And if you go past that deadline, you're stuck with it. Well, I prayed and God, give me a word. And what are we supposed to teach for Easter? And I heard nothing. So I got to the deadline. They told me, hey, you're past the deadline. You're stuck. And so I was stuck with this theme of feast or famine. But I had I knew of no practical way to really flesh that out for our attendees. And so practically, I was just driving to Starbucks one night and I just plainly told God, hey, God, I have to teach this lesson in a few weeks and I have no clue what I'm about to say. I know no scripture text. And I told him, hey, God, if you can just give me a scripture text, then I can begin to study that. Just give me something to work with. I went to Starbucks on the way home at night on the road after praying that short prayer on the way back home. I had a fleeting thought. Mm-hmm. It wasn't long, it wasn't an audible voice. There was a thought that just flashed across my mind, prodigal son. I didn't hear a voice. It was a quick thought, prodigal son. It flashed across and then it was gone. And so when I went home, I pulled out that text, and midway through reading the text, it said that the son went off to a far country and he ran into a famine. So I got excited. Okay, that's one out of two words. And I knew the dad threw a party, so if it didn't say feast, you know, as a preacher, I was gonna try to make it work. You know, the dad threw him a feast, but I went down later in the text and it said that when the son came home, the dad said, hey, let's throw him a feast. So I said, okay, that's God. That's God. And so that was the text that we ended up using for Easter. But I wanted to just share that with you because God is very practical. He wants to, for me, churches work. I go to church, but for me, churches work. So God cared about me being successful at work. And I want to tell you that he cares about you being successful at work. He's a good father. He cares about you being successful, not only at work, but in your relationships, in home, in your finances. And so he will speak to you in that way. But it's a quick passing thought that's called the still small voice. I want to close out and look at a final way that God speaks to us. And then I want to give you a few recommended resources if you want to study more of this on your own. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 19 and verse 20. And the seventh and final way that I want to look at, and these ways were not an all-inclusive list. So I didn't mention angels, but in scripture, God used angels to speak with people. So this wasn't an exhaustive list, but just wanted to look at a few. The seventh way that God will speak to us is through the Holy Spirit himself. Through the Holy Spirit himself. So if the still small voice is the voice of your spirit, this seventh way is the Holy Spirit himself speaking to you. The backstory of this text that we're going to look at, it says that Peter went onto a roof, began to have a vision, and didn't fully understand what the vision was that he was seeing. And then in verse 19, we'll pick it up. It says in verse 19 that while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him. Now that Spirit there was not Peter's human spirit. This was the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter. Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. So the voice of the Holy Spirit is that seventh and final way. And notice in this text, the Holy Spirit was very definite. He was very specific. Peter, there's three guys that are looking for you. Go downstairs. This wasn't a prompting. This wasn't an unction. These were specific directions that the Holy Spirit was giving to Peter and were specific directions that he could easily follow. The difference between the voice of your human spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit, whereas your human spirit is more of a whisper, the Holy Spirit is very authoritative. If your human spirit's voice is more of a passing thought, a fleeting thought, when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's gonna burn. It's gonna sear. When John was baptizing people in the wilderness, he said, John the Baptist, he said, hey, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's a guy, Jesus, that's coming after me, and he's gonna baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Fire.
With fire. So when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's bringing some fire with him. This is not small. It's not soft. It's very clear. Some people who have heard him will actually say it sounds like an audible voice. He's very authoritative when he speaks to you. When the Holy Spirit came and filled up the upper room after Jesus left, he brought fire with him. It said that above them were tongues as a fire. So the Holy Spirit is very authoritative. And that is another way that God will speak to you, is not just through an inward witness or an unction. not just through the voice of your human spirit or your conscience, but through the voice of the Holy Spirit himself. In a moment, we're going to open it up for some open discussion and some questions. If you want to study how God speaks, how you can hear him, I mentioned in the first lesson of the series that you can actually develop your ability and your sensitivity to hear from God, that you can actually grow in it over time. If you want to continue to study this, there are three books that I would recommend to you. A really good book, it's an old book, but it's a really good one, is by Kenneth Hagin, and it's called How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. In that book, he talks about the inward witness. In that book, Kenneth Hagin, he's no longer here, but he talked about the still small voice. He talks about the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's a really good resource. Another more recent resource that's really good that I would highly recommend is a book called Frequency by Pastor Robert Morris out of Gateway Church in Texas. Frequency by Pastor Robert Morris. It really gets over into how God speaks, how you can hear him, how you can position yourself to hear him, why God wants to speak to you. And the last resource that I would recommend is a book called Whispers. Whispers. And it's by Pastor Bill Hybels from Willow Creek. It's a great resource, again, if you want to develop and study this concept of hearing the voice of God. My prayer is that scripture says that as we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. You can develop an ability, a keen ability to hear from God. Scripture, the very first text that we looked at on week one, it said that Samuel began to progress in his ability to hear God to the point that over time he was able to hear God so accurately that none of his prophecies, none of the words that he spoke on behalf of God fell to the ground, or none of them failed to come to pass. And I believe that God wants to speak to you in clear and vivid details. And I believe that as we spend the time with him, as we approach him and draw nigh to him, I believe that he will draw nigh to us. And I don't believe that we have to hit it or miss it. I believe we can hit it every time. Amen.